Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Baba Batra Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, continuing with our discussion of Benot Slofchad and specifically of the prohibition of a girl who inherits land marrying out of the tribe as presented at the very end of Sefer Bamidbar. Amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Benot Slofchad Hu Truly Hinaseh L'Chol HaShvatim. Truth is, Benot Slofchad, against the simple read of the text, were allowed to marry into any shevet. Shenemar, latov beinahem tiyel lanashim. They can marry whoever they want. Alamani makay machal mishpachat matayim tiyel lanashim. So why does it say, but they must marry somebody within their tribe? Etza tovah hisiyana katuv. Means the text is giving them good advice. Shelo yinasu al hagun lahen. Meaning, they can marry whoever they want, but they should marry good men. Motiv rabba. So rabba then says, emor alehem, meaning lo tan homdim al har sinai. L'dorotechem, this is in the parsha of Balimum of Aharon. L'dorotechem, elu dorot habayim. Now, what that means is that the Torah is commanding us for that generation and for future generations, and that's general about mitzvot. Now, why does it say that? Im ne'mar vot, lama ne'mar banim, ne'mar banim, lama ne'mar vot. Why did, if the Torah tells us that that generation got the mitzvah, why does it have to tell us that later generations did, and vice versa? Me'sheish ba'vot, ma'she'en banim, ma'she'ish banim, ma'she'en ba'vot. Within the context of being commanded, there are certain things that only apply to one generation and not later, and only some that applied later and not now. That's why, in that particular context, it had to mention both. Be'avot, ma'hu omer, v'chobat, yoreshet nachala. In the context of the parents, what mitzvah were they given that did not apply to the children? That is the mitzvah, the prohibition of a girl who inherits property marrying, not being able to marry outside of her tribe. And then on the other hand, v'arbe mitzvot instavu banim shel instavu avot, there's a lot of commands that the next generation were given that this generation wasn't given because they applied only in the land. In other words, within the context of that mitzvah in Vayikra, why does the Torah say Amor Alehem en Ledorotechem? Because saying that it's commanded to that generation wouldn't tell us that it's for other generations, because there's other things that only that generation had, such as a girl who inherits property may not marry out of her tribe. So therefore, therefore, the Torah had to say both. Now, so you see that it was only that generation that wasn't allowed to marry. So you see that Benot Slofchad really were not allowed to marry. Nobody in that generation was allowed to marry out of their tribe if they inherited land. So he who asked the question, Rabbah asked the question, answered it himself, Lavar Minot Slofchad, meaning that any other girl in that generation who inherited the land could not marry out. Benot Slofchad were allowed to marry out, and in later generations, anybody was allowed to marry out. Okay, let's take a look at this. Amamar Bevotu, Amar Bechobat Yerusha Nachala, Bevot In Banim Lo. So we say that that prohibition was only that generation. My Mashma, how do you know that? Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Zeha Davar. At the beginning of the passage that presents the prohibition of those daughters marrying into another tribe, it says Zeha Davar. This is the matter. Meaning, Davar Ze Lo Yehinoheg Elo Labador Ze. It only applies to this generation. So Amar Rava Zuti the Ravashi. So he said, El Me'ata Zeha Davar Dishchut Echutz. When the Torah prohibits bringing a korban outside of the Mikdash, doing a shchit of a korban outside of the Mikdash, because it says, so also it only applies in that generation. In the next pasuk, it says, this is what the prohibition is for generations. All right. The beginning of Parshat Matot, which is about Nedarim and about Hatar Nedarim and Hafar Nedarim, says Zehadavar. You're saying every time it says Zehadavar, it only applies to that generation, unless you have Ledorotam. So the answer is, Ravashi answered that the Zeh in Nedarim is inferred from the Zeh of Shchut Echutz that applies to every generation. So why don't you then learn Zeh of Bat Yerushat Nachala from Shchut Echutz and say it applies to every generation? Hi, Mai, how are you going to explain it? So Bishlama Hatam Itztricha L'Gzer HaShava. As we'll see a little bit later on, in the case of Shchutei Chutz and Nedarim, we needed Zeh for a Gzera Shava for something else. So the word Zeh was necessary. And so therefore, we disregard it as being the prime indicator of when it applies. But in the case of the girl who's inheriting land, the word Zeh is not needed for anything else. So therefore, Lishtok Kramine, let the Torah not say Zeh HaDavar. I'll know it's like every other mitzvah applies forever. So the Zeh HaDavar must be unique in that it's saying it doesn't apply for other generations. Now, my Gzerah Shavah, what's the Gzerah Shavah that in Shchut Echutz and in Nedarim the Zeh is needed? Tanya, Ne'amar Kan Zeh HaDavar, in the context of Shchut Echutz, it says Zeh HaDavar, Ne'amar Lahalan Zeh HaDavar. And it says the same thing, in Nedarim and in Shchut Echutz. Malalan Ruvanah V'chol Yisrael, there it involves Aharon and all of Am Yisrael. Avkan Aharon Ruvanah V'chol Yisrael. Same thing, anybody from Yisrael could participate in this. Umakan Rashi Matot, Aflahalan Rashi Matot. But just like in the Parsha Nedarim, it specifies the heads of the tribes, so the same thing over there. Let's see what that all means. Amar Balan Ruvanah V'chol Yisrael, Avkan Ruvanah V'chol Yisrael, Lamai Hilchata. What's the purpose of that? Chav Yaakov Lamar Shafar Nedarim, Bishtosha Had Yotot. That you could have three regular people, meaning Kol Yisrael. You don't need Rashi Matot in order to do a fart nedarim. I Rashi Matot Klivei, but it says Rashi Matot. Rashi Matot is if you want to have one person do it. So one person who's a mumcha can do it. But you could have anybody of Yisrael if there's the three to be made for nedarim. Hachinami biyachid mumcha. Good. Umakan Rashi Matot, just like in a fart nedarim, it's Rashi Matot, aflahalan Rashi Matot. Rashi Matot applies to Shchut Echutz. Lamai Hilchata, what's that for? Rashi Shut Lamar, Sheish She'ela Behektish. It's a whole different thing which tells you that you're allowed to be Shoal Ala Hektish. Just like you took a neder, you could be Matu the neder, you could also be Matu the Hektish. Now, the Beit Shammai Damar ain't She'ela Behektish, Beit Shammai disagree, which means that the entire Gzera Shavana falls apart for them. Dinan, but Shammai Hektish Toh Tektish, but Tilomim Eno Hektish. But Shammai says you made Hektish by mistake, it's Hektish, you can't go back on it. But Hillel says that it has to be done with proper intent, which means you can be Shoal on it also. So, Hai Zevazem my Abdile. What does Beit Shammai do with the Zeh of Hataras Nedarim, and the Zeh of Shchut Echutz, which now become unnecessary for their own Gzera Shava, because he doesn't make the connection of Sheila Behekdesh, and therefore become as unnecessary as Zeh HaDavar or Bat Yoreshet Nachala? So the answer is as follows. Each one has a particular limud. Zeh HaDavar de Shchut Echutz, in Ba'ilei, al Shochet Uchayev, in Uchayev, al Molek. Only if you do Shchita Bachutz, but not Malika Bachutz, are you Chayev. If you take a bird that was a Hekdesh, and you do the Malika of the bird outside of the Mikdash, breaking the back of its neck, killing it that way, then you're not Chayev for Shchut Echutz. So Zeh HaDavar is not a Gzera Shava, but a Miut. Zeh HaDavar de Rashi HaMatot, what's that for? In Ba'ilei, Lechocham Matir in Baal Matir. To tell you that only a chacham can be matir, a husband isn't matir, he's mefer. It's a whole different direction. It's something we studied in the latter half of Masachet Nedarim. Now, baal mefer and chacham mefer. Right. So each one has their own style, their own way. Well, the Beit Shammai delayed the Gzera Shava. So Beit Shammai does not have Zeh Zefer Gzera Shava. Hafart Nedarim b'shlosha yotot manalahu. How does he know that you could do Hafart Nedarim, or Tart Nedarim really, with three regular guys, not a yachid mumcha? Because that was all learned from the Zeh HaDavar, just like Shchut Echutz applies to all of Israel, so Nedarim applies to all of Israel. Nafkul Nidatanya, he got it from the following Braita. Vaydaber Moshe Moadei Adonai B'nei Yisrael, Hashem spoke, Moshe told B'nei Yisrael about the Moadim. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, what did he talk about? Moadei Hashem Nemru Shabbat Bereshit Lo Nemra. He only mentioned the Moadim, not Shabbat. But Azi Omer, Moadei Hashem Nemru Hafart Nedarim Lo Nemra. He says differently. Moshe told Bnei Yisrael on Moadim, but not about Hafart Nedarim. Let's see what that means. So Anatan Gomer La Lahamanita V'Loyada Le'Devusha. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Natin reviewed this. He knew it, but he didn't understand it. He couldn't explain it. Azabatu Rav Sheshet LaNahardeya V'Lo Ashkache. He went all the way to Nahardeya to find Rav Sheshet to have him explain it to him. Couldn't find him there. Azabatu Rav Mechoza Ashkache. He went to Mechoza, and he found Rav Sheshet there to explain it. Amarle. My Moadei Hashem Nemru Shabbat Bereshit Lo Nemra. What does the Rabbi Zaglili mean with this? So Rav Sheshet answered him, Amar Lei, Moadei Hashem Tzichim Kiddush Beitin. It means that only the Moadim need the Beitin to declare it Rosh Chodesh. Shabbat Bereshit Enot Tzichah Kiddush Beitin. Regular Shabbat doesn't need that. Sal Kadai Tachavena, because I would have thought, Ho Iluch Tivi Gabi Moadot, since in Parshat Emor, Shabbat is listed in the list of the Moadim, Tibuai Kiddush Beitin Kamoadot, maybe every Friday, Beitin has to announce Makudish Makudish for Shabbos. Kamash Malan, therefore, Yusek Lili says that they only have to announce the Moadim and not Shabbat. My Moadi Hashem Nemru Afart and Darim Lo Nemru. So then he asked Rav Sheisha the second question. What did Ben Azai mean? That Moadi Hashem were said, but not Afart and Darim. Moadi Hashem Tzachim Mumchim. The answer is that Moadi Hashem needs Mumchim to declare Kiddush HaKodesh. Afart and Darim, Enot Tzricha Mumchim. But that you don't need. So that is going to be Beit Shammai's source for knowing that you can have three Hedyotot for Beitin because he didn't get it via the Gzeres Shava. But how can you say that you could use non-mumchim? After all, it says Rashem Atot. That's talking about if an individual does it. Okay, very famous Mishnah at the end of Tani. Tanana Tama. Amar Hashem Gamliel. Oyu yamim tovim Yisrael kachamisha asar ba'av uchi yom ha-kippurim. Shebahen b'not Yerushalayim yotzot b'chle lavan shu'ulin shel v'eshet misha'ein lo. All right, the girls used to go out in white clothes and dance, and men would pick their wives. Beautiful, beautiful image. And we say that this would happen on Yom Kippur and on the 15th of Av. So Bishlama Yom Kippurim, Yom Slicha Mechila, Yom Shnu Balochat Achornot. I understand why Yom Kippur is such a big yontiv. It's the day Hashem forgives us. It's the day that that Hashem gave the second Luchot. It's great. We understand why we're so happy. Chamisha Asav Mahi, why are we so happy on the 15th of Av? So Shmuel gives the first answer. There's six different answers here. Yom Shu'utru Shvatim Lavozav Azeh. This directly relates to our thing, which is, it's the day that tribes were allowed to intermarry, meaning that if a girl inherited land, it was on Tu B'Av in a subsequent year after they arrived in Israel that they announced, from now on, a girl inherits land can marry from any tribe. So my drush, how do they darshan it? Zeh ha-davar. Davar zelen hei galabador zeh. Okay, that we already had. Number two. Rachanam Rabbi Yochanan. Yom shutar shev bin yamin lavo b'kahal. If you recall, at the end of Sefer Shoftim, when as a result of the terrible sin of Pilegash B'Givah, and the people of Givah, the Shev Binyamin, were then threatened by everybody. All of Shev Binyamin went to war, and Shev Binyamin was wiped out, so there were only 600 men and no women or children left. And everybody took an oath that they would not allow their daughters to marry into Shev Binyamin, which of course led to a near wipeout of the tribe. Dichtiv, Yish Yisrael Nishpa B'Mitzpah Limor, Yishmer Loiten B'Tol Binyamin L'Isha. That oath was lifted on Tu B'Av in a particular year, such that people were allowed to let their daughters marry back into Binyamin. My Drush, how do they darshan? Mimenu v'lomi banenu, meaning none of us will give our daughters, but our children can give their daughters. So they had families through other tribes, or their own tribe, and then their sons were able to have their daughters marry into Binyamin. So Yosef Rav Nachman, Rav Yachman says, Yom Shkalubo Mote Midbar. There was a tradition that, since it was on Tisha B'Av, that the decree was announced that everybody's going to die in the desert. Everybody who died that year died on Tisha B'Av. So what would happen is they would, this is further elaborated in Masechet Tanit in the parallel sugya, is that every year they would dig graves and everybody would sleep in a grave on Tisha B'Av, and they'd wake up in the morning. Whoever didn't wake up, the other people shoveled the grave in and they kept moving. That last year, they all went to sleep. They would take a look at Rabbeinu Gershom's running commentary on this here. They all dug their graves, they went into the graves, and they all woke up the next morning. And they kept doing this until finally they saw a full moon, Tu B'Av, and then they realized that the decree was over. Tamar, ad shelo kalu matei midbar, lo haya dibur im Moshe. There's a parallel, a parenthetic piece that Hashem did not speak to Moshe from the entire time of the decree until that decree was over, and everybody who was alive was going to make it to Israel. What does it say there? It was as soon as all those people died, then Hashem spoke to me, meaning Eli Hayal Dibur. Then Hashem finally spoke to me again. That was explanation number three. Number four, Ulamar Yom Shubitel Bohoshev Ben Elah Pardesaot Shoshivir Avam Aladrachim Shalalu Yisrael Aregel. If you recall, in Sefer Malachim Aleph, Perakid Gimel, Yeravam, realizing that even though he's created this separate kingdom in the north, in Shechem, that the people are going to make Aliyah L'Regel to the Beit HaMikdash, and they're going to return to Rechavam. So he set up a separate Mikdash in Dan and one in Beit El, and said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, etc. And according to the Midrash, he also set up roadblocks, not allowing anybody to come to Yerushalayim. The very last king of Israel, Hoshea ben Elah, in the 8th century BCE took those roadblocks down on Tu B'Av. This is number 5. That in the year 135, of course, the terrible massacre at Beitar, according to tradition, it was 2 years later that in the summer that the rabbis were allowed to come in and bury all of the dead. And on that day, Yavna is a little bit difficult location-wise, but they made the takana of Hatov Hametiv. Hatov shel yisrichu v'metiv sh'ninu k'vura. Hatov, that Hashem preserved the bodies, and Hametiv, that they were allowed to bury them. And that happened on Tu B'Av. The sixth and final thing is not a historic event, but a cyclical event. Rabbi Rav Yosef Tamri Tavayu, Yom Shavoskin bo menichot etzim l'maracha. It's the last day that they cut wood for the maracha of the season. Why? Tanya Belezer Gadol Omer, Kivan Shigia Chamisha Sar Ba'av, Tashash Kocha Shachama. That's when the sun's strength starts to ebb. Then the concern is that any wood after this is already going to be a little bit damp and not as dried out. It's the day they break the axe. And since the nights are starting to get longer, anybody who adds into their learning will have a longer life. If not, then he will be gathered. What does that mean? Yosef Tikbure Ime, meaning he will die. His mother will bury him. That's the story of Tu B'Av. It's a very famous piece. Anybody who is interested can go on to my Mikra website. I wrote an article about it in, I think, the special holiday section. If you can't find it, send me an email at rebyitz@torah.org, and I'll be happy to direct you to the piece. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day. We will pick up and complete our study of this, the analysis of this Mishnah, in the next podcast. Shalom.